Jaya Radha Madhava Sunya Vihaji Jaya Radha Madhava Sunya Vihaji Gopidana Vallabha Girivara Raje Gopidana Vallabha Girivara Raje Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yamuna Tiravana Raje Yamuna Tiravana Raje Jaya Radha Madhava Sunya Vihaji Jaya Radha Madhava Sunya Vihaji Jaya Prabhu Parajaya Prabhu Parajaya Prabhu Parajila Prabhu Parajaya Jaya Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radhe Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radhe Jayom Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravraja Kacharya Stata Satasi Simat His Divine Grace Sila Ave Charanaravinda Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai His Confounder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Shigaranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishnu Badaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale. Srimata Bhakti Vedanta Swaminti Namine Namaste Zasati Devi Govani Pacharini. Neva Seza Sonya Rivaskatya Deza Tarni. Hare Krishna. Hari Bol Sankirtan Prabhu, I see you, my mentor and my supporter and my critic. I'm here for some, while I'm here, I'm taking training lessons or coaching lessons from Sankirtan Prabhu in the art of, I would say, in the lost art of storytelling. And today I want to do something. But first let us take a verse of the Bhagavad Gita to enter into our subject matter. Tat buddhayas tat atmanas. Buddhayas tat atmanas. Tannishtas tat padayana. Tannishtas tat padayana. Gacchantya puna avritim. Jnana niduta kalmashaha. Tad buddhayas. Those whose intelligence is always in the Supreme. Tadatmanaha. Those whose minds are always in the Supreme. Tatnishtaha. Those whose faith is only meant for the Supreme. Tat parayanaha. Who have completely taken shelter of Him. Gachanti. Go. Apunavritim. To liberation. Jnana. By knowledge. Niduta, cleansed. Kalmashaha, misgivings. Translation. When one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Purport. The Supreme Transcendental Truth is Lord Krishna. The whole Bhagavad Gita centers around the declaration that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the version of all Vedic literature. Paratattva means the Supreme Reality, who's understood by the knowers of the Supreme as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the last word in the Absolute. There's nothing more than that. The Lord says, Mata parataram nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya. Impersonal Brahman is also supported by Krishna. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Therefore, in all ways, Krishna is the Supreme Reality. One whose mind, intelligence, faith and refuge are always in Krishna, or in other words, one who is fully in Krishna consciousness is undoubtedly washed clean of all misgivings, and is in perfect knowledge in everything concerning transcendence. A Krishna-conscious person can thoroughly understand that there is duality, simultaneous identity and individuality, in Krishna, and equipped with such transcendental knowledge, one can make steady progress on the path of liberation. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In this beautiful verse of the Bhagavad Gita, we find a focus. A focus which Srila Prabhupada strengthens or deepens in his purport when he says that the last word in transcendence is Krishna. We find here that in our spiritual lives, it's important to focus two of our conscious abilities on Krishna. Our intelligence, our mind. Mind is very often the seat, it also has to do a lot with emotions. Our faith and our refuge. If a devotee is able in his or her life to focus these four functions of life on Krishna, he will have wind in his sails, as we say in Germany, or as Krishna says, which is much better, he will proceed straight on the path of liberation. However, we understand that spiritual life is not a matter of only one vertical relationship. The living entity who looks up to Krishna. Just like a vertical line can fall very easily on the ground when it is not supported by a horizontal line like this, which gives strength so that the vertical line stays in place. Huh? In the same way, a devotee's focus will very quickly dwindle, a devotee's focus on Krishna, if he doesn't have also horizontal relationships, that is, relationships with devotees who are on the path. In fact, we so often hear that bhakti is initiated in the heart by devotees. It is maintained by the association of devotees. Then even when bhakti has reached its culmination in the form of prema, the devotional association of devotees is extremely important. And I want to tell you a little perspective on this point from a direction which comes totally unexpected. I think you wouldn't be surprised if I would tell you a story of the Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat, which illustrates how important the association with devotees is in order to safely progress in Krishna consciousness. But today, I want to tell something which I feel will address your emotions in a very nice way. I must myself admit that when I came into contact with the story which I'm about to tell you, I was very, very surprised, and then I found myself drawn into the magic of the story. In Germany, devotees, I'm living in a little house which we have called the Karuna Bhavan. And everyone who comes and visits me in this house will get a present. No one can leave this house, come to this house and leave this house without getting a present. And why this came about in my own life is very interesting. I was one day giving a lecture. I believe it was in Nuremberg, it's called. I'm already losing my German map out of my head. After I had finished the lecture, a person who was totally unknown to me came out of the crowd and said, "I have a little booklet for you. Please read it. It might change your life." Very nice. Thank you very much. And I read the little booklet, and it changed my life. I gave the booklet after I had read it away to another person and said to him, "Please read this little booklet. It might change your life." And afterwards I decided to build a cupboard in my Karuna Bhavan, the place where I live, which is full with presents, so that everyone who comes gets a present. Let me tell you today what I read in this little booklet, and it might also change your life. In two ways, maybe. You might like to tell this story to someone else whom you have not seen before. Hare Krishna Maharaj. You might... His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj ki jai. And you might also put a cupboard in your room so that everyone who visits you will obtain a present from you. The story is entitled The Givers. Once in Germany, the story tells, there was a village which had a village sign. The village of the givers. And the people who lived in this village were called the happy people. They had a very unusual habit, these happy people. Whenever they would meet, either on the streets or in their houses, they would discuss, like we also discuss. But at the very end, they would reach back into their backpack, produce a silken cloth, just like this one, and say, "My dear so-and-so, I have a beautiful silken cloth for you. I have just kept it for you. Please take it." The other person would happily receive the silken cloth. And he would say, by the way, I also remember I kept a silken cloth for you, which is just for you. And he gave also a silken cloth. Mind you, it was not a trade of silken cloth, where the giver expects a return from the one who he is giving the present to. It was a habit which they had. They would always give presents to each other. And as a result, they were very, very happy. When they would meet each other on the road, they would smile with happiness. Their relationships were so loving and developed that they would talk about many things. It was a very cultured village. They talked about many religious stories. They talked about how they could help each other in various ways. And they would always end their talks by producing the silken cloth. "Here, it's just for you. I kept it only for you." Hare Krishna. Now at the end of the village, a little bit in the mountains, this village was in the valley, lived another being. He was the troll. The troll lived in a well-furnished cave, which was warm and lit by crystals. He had enough to eat by a huge garden, which he cultivated. And he was very rich because he had semi-precious stones in his cave, a whole pile. But the troll was unhappy. In fact, he felt sometimes so lonely and depressive that he did not know what to do with his life. And do you know what was the cause of this? The cause was that the troll was sitting before his cave and looked into the valley of the happy people, and understood. I have riches and crystals in my cave, but they have relationships. They are so happy and so entirely glad. They have something what I do not have. The years went by. The happy people what show different signs of great happiness. The wealth was increasing. The agriculture was increasing like anything as a result of their happy relationships. But the troll eventually became so disturbed that his natural complexion turned green. Green from envy. One day, the troll said, "Enough is enough! I have to destroy the happiness of the happy people." "I hope one of them comes up here. I have a plan which will totally corrupt him and eventually his whole people." He didn't have to wait long. Soon Gilmoch came. Gilmoch was one of the little happy people, in case you do not yet know him. He came up the road. He was whistling very happily. It was a happy day, and he came by the cave. "Good morning, troll." "Hi." Gilmoch thought, "Well, he's a nice person, actually. He's a little depressed." And he started to say, "But troll, see the sun and see what God has given you in your garden, new cabbage heads." And he talked and talked and talked. The troll looked. Finally, he said, "And by the way, before I go, I have a nice silken cloth. I kept it just for you, for this morning's meeting." The troll became animated for the first time. "Keep it, keep it." And then he said the lines which would change Gilmoch's heart. "Gilmoch, I'm so sad because I see your naivete. I have watched you. Whenever you meet someone, you give him one of your precious silken cloths." "Don't you understand your crucial mistake? Happiness lies in taking, not in giving." Gilmoch said, "No, but I give the cloth and I feel I always have enough clothes. Somehow, there's no dearth when I give away. Ah, you are so naive. You don't know what I have observed. If you just keep cloth and don't give away cloth, the people who always give you cloth will give you so many cloth that you have a whole pile of cloth and you will be happy just watching the pile of cloth. Gilmore, be intelligent. Just like a water basin is drained when water goes out, your happiness is drained when you give. And just as a water basin is becoming filled when there is no drainage, you will always become happier and happier if you receive more and more. See my logic, Gilmore. Gilmore said, but please take my cloth. No, Gilmore. Keep your cloth. That is your investment in your happiness. Now go and think about what I have told you. Gilmore went down and he was a little bewildered. When he met the first happy person in the village, the happy person could see something is different with Gilmore. He tried to liften up his spirits, but Gilmore was reflective about what he heard. Finally, the happy person said, here, Gilmore, I kept a piece of cloth just for you. Thank you, said Gilmore. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And he went home. The person, the happy person who had given Gilmore that day a piece of silk, was amused. This is also a way to deal, to just keep the cloth and not give something in return. Return is not the word. Not give something. He's a very funny and innovative, our Gilmore. A little eccentric. But it is all right. It is a nice way to deal. Yes. To take. Gilmore is very nice. The village lived, as you all know it lived. Only Gilmore had this very unusual habit. Everyone laughed about it, but they were not worried or anxious because their pleasure lay in giving, not in taking. They did not accept anything in return. Finally, something happened to Gilmore. Gilmore became sick. The doctors didn't know why he became sick and what the disease was. Later, people who had found Gilmore's body described there was a shrinking in the heart. But what it exactly was, no one knows. But what happened is that Gilmore told one day to his best friend, my best friend, I'm getting old. I want to tell you a secret of life. I have learned one lesson. When I just don't give away to other people, but just keep it, what I have received, my wealth increases. Please come with me. And Gilmore showed his friend a huge pile of beautiful silken cloth. This is my happiness, and I sit every day before it, I'm very happy when I see this increasing pile. His friend had asked him, but Gilmore, you look sickly. But Gilmore said, it is some virus. I've gotten this virus from a foreign land, maybe from America. It has nothing to do with my happiness. In my old days, I glance at the village and I'm very, very happy. Gilmore died 1 year after this. everyone was very sad for Gilmour, but Gilmour's virus was now in the village. The friend told it to his friend, to his friend, to his friend. Soon the village changed the sign. It was no longer called the village of givers. It was called the village of the takers. And then one day there were no trade of silk and cloth any longer. You couldn't see that any longer. The troll, who had observed all this in the beginning, was happy. It works. They destroy their relationships just like I have prophesied they would do. But when he saw the amount of sadness coming out of the village, the once happy people wouldn't greet themselves any longer happily. What was once a common mission was no longer a common mission. Each one lived for himself, tucked away in his own little places. People became, the troll was unhappy for this. And one day, the same troll decided to change everything around. He waited for another of the once happy people. And the person came up into the cave, and the troll said, you know, long, long ago in your village, the people would always give each other silken cloth like this one. Yes, said one of the happy people. What does this have to do with me? I also heard my fathers and forefathers were doing this silly activity. Well, said the troll, it might not have been so entirely silly, because they were very happy with each other. They had a very happy relationships. I want you to make an experiment. I have some semi-precious stones here. Oh, yes, you have. Yes, here is a semi-precious stone for you. Thank you, said one of the takers. I will give you a few of them. Thank you. And why don't you start giving away whenever you talk with someone a semi-precious stone? Yeah, but then I won't have any precious stones in the end. No, no, said the troll. Whenever you are out of stock, you will get double the amount than you have given away from me. We write it down in a lodge book, how much you have gotten, and when you come back, I will automatically give you double the amount. Today I will give you 10. When you have distributed them, I will give you 20. Oh, said that so-called happy person. That sounds good. And he did so. He distributed. He said, by the end, when he had talked with the first person in the village, by the way, I have a very, very nice present for you. And he gave him a stone. And whenever that person, whose name was the blue one, whenever the blue one met someone, he gave him a stone like this. Soon other people started to imitate the behavior. And again, by and by, a beautiful atmosphere came back in the village. In fact, after only 20 years, the villagers again changed the sign before the village. It was no longer called the village of the takers. It was renamed back into the village of the givers. And my dear devotees, the story as it went on explains how entirely happy the village became just by getting back to the habit of giving and not taking. When I had read this book to the end, is that a wonderful book? And I gave the book away to some person, a stranger, said, read it, it might change the life. Afterwards, as I have already indicated, I have made a cupboard in the place where I live, which I fill with pebbles and silken cloth. Now, there are usually candles, incense, nice books, which I gather on my travels, and dhotis, and maha from different deities, cloth maha. Whenever someone comes to that little house in Karuna Bhavan, I now am in the habit of giving a present. Please, when you visit me next time and come to Germany, please come to Karuna Bhavan. There are the deities Radha Konya Vihari there, and you will see as you come down the staircase, you will pass by my cupboard, then I will open it and say, wait a minute, I've just kept a present for you. And when I'm out of stock, I will at least give you a stick of incense, a Maha incense for Prabhupada's Vyasa-san, or anything. Because that story had really changed my life, the story of the givers. Hare Krishna. I wanted to tell you this story, but I wouldn't be satisfied, just as you will not be fully satisfied, if you do not find a reference of this in the Shastra. I have personally seen in the life of many devotees that those devotees who are in the spirit of serving other devotees are the most happy. Those devotees, however, who for some reason or other have been influenced by the green troll into the philosophy which is common in this material world, they are still looking for the happiness. There is a very nice shloka which tells us how the world of spiritual life is the world of giving. It's a shloka which is spoken by Nanda and Sunanda, the personal associates of Lord Vishnu, at a very special occasion. They had come to take Dhruva Maharaj from the to the spiritual world. They had come in a wonderful airplane, and before this airplane started, they spoke a verse to Dhruva Maharaj. They said to him, Yat prajamanam svaruchaiva sarvato lokastrayo jano vibrajayante janna vrajan jantushu yenanugraha vrajanti badrani charanti yenisham. The self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light. These self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only those persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planets. Prabhupada says, from this material world, people can be transferred to the Vaikuntha Loka if they incessantly engage in welfare activities for all other living entities. Such incessant welfare activities can really be performed
only in Krishna consciousness. There is no philanthropic work within this material world, but Krishna consciousness that can engage a person 24 hours a day. Yes. So, a little later they even say, persons who know the art of pleasing all other living entities can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. My dear devotees, I'm a member of a once glorious devotee community, Goloka Dham in Germany, which is a very, very nice facility in a nature-protected area in Germany. And we have found out, after we went through a difficult period of life, that it's very important for us as a community to somehow instill the spirit of giving into our community. And I believe, strongly believe, that all devotees' lives can be greatly enhanced by going to this value of not asking what you can get, but by asking what you can give. While I was in Washington, D.C., I went to the president's table and delivered a speech to the cameras. There were two cameras fixed on me, and I delivered the speech of President Kennedy again. Let me explain. I was not on the equal level of a president, nor do I wish to be this, nor am I qualified. But there was, in the museum where we went, there was a facility you could stand on the table. You could get the speech of President Kennedy that was just before your eyes, and then the cameras would go on and you would see yourself on the on a video screen, and you would be allowed to hold the speech of Kennedy. And there Kennedy gives a speech. He says, "Don't ask what the country can do for you. Ask what you can do for the country." I was speaking this, so I remember it. I thought it might be good for preaching if the people in the museum see a Hare Krishna devotee and just very happily imitating John F. Kennedy. They might maybe see that we also have some sense of humor and so on. But it was done, in, I believe, in good taste. At least we tried to do it in good taste. And as I was delivering the speech of President Kennedy, I was thinking, oh, Krishna is teaching me a lesson. Because this really is a motto in Krishna consciousness. This not in relationship to a country we should give something, but in relationship to the devotees of the Lord. And ultimately also in relationship to the conditioned souls. Also, in this case, we should try to see what we can do for the American people who are very, very nice and very open in Krishna consciousness. You will see, your day is a happy day when you have given something, your attention, your time to someone, and have helped them in Krishna consciousness or in spiritual life. And your day, you can do what you want. You can chant millions of rounds. You can deliver even millions of lectures if they're not done in the right motivation. You can eat tons of prasadam. If you have not thought about giving something to others on that day, it's purposefully thought about it and purposefully arranged your life, then you will feel something is still missing in your life. Please try this in your life, to just make careful little steps in the process of giving. Do it first to people who are, where it's easy for you, that you, give them time and energy. And as you will become a little giver yourself, you can enlarge your circle of giving so that finally you will give your attention and your preaching and whatever to a larger circle of people. And then you will become a happy devotee, qualified to reach the self-effulgent spiritual planets. I want to thank you very much for listening to this. Hopefully it was inspiring. Let us now watch the clock. The deities are not yet open. Does any one of you have a question which you would like to ask at this stage? I feel a little nervous because Sankirtan is there and looking at me, and my storytelling is not yet what it should be. I will soon go to the master Sankirtan, and he will drill me in the secret room where it will not be so heavy for my false ego. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji. Please.
By good fortune, in 1986, I went to Vrindavan for the first time. And I was there, and I knew that I'm in Vrindavan, and this is the place that the devotee wants to be. But I wasn't happy. I was worried about this, and I was worried about that, and I was thinking I was a little sick. And I was watching all the devotees dancing and ecstasy. I was wondering what was wrong.
Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra Ki Jai. What was wrong? Yes. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you. You have enhanced this point very much with your your life story. Yeah? Yes, it's a magical formula. It is sometimes it is the easiest thing, but the far away thing in our life to give. But the moment we make that paradigm shift, life becomes very wonderful. This is very wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to end with giving you a list of things which you can give in the association of devotees. Jiva Goswami says general kindness is there. Rupa Goswami gives, of course, the very, very famous list of giving prasadam and receiving prasadam, revealing your mind in confidence, and hearing another from another devotee. and giving gifts and receiving gifts. Mahaprabhu has, upon his return from Gaya, given this principle to all of us. He was actually folding the cloth of the Vaishnavas and carrying the cloth home. Vaishnavas can easily be served around the clothing industry. Either washing, that is not an industrial enterprise, but washing their clothes or giving them a shirt. They usually don't have so many cloths and so on. That's a very favorite item. Giving them items which they might require for their puja, helping them in their devotional service to Krishna is very well appreciated. And each Vaishnava is a special point. So some like candles very much, some like require pens because they write so much in their lives. Or Eli was just giving me a whole wealth of nice MP3 lecture CDs and so on. There are many items which you can creatively think of in giving to Vaishnavas. Please do so. It will be a very nice enhancement. And I believe a community can very much profit if many members start giving away silken cloth or attention to the devotees and so on. We Westerners are often afraid to give because we fear that we will lose, but we will get so much. Hare Krishna. I will end here. It's still a little time. We can maybe sing something for the deities. Radhanath Maharaj, would you be happy to chant, or do you have at this moment maybe other pressing duties? Very good. Wonderful. Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra ki jai.